which is tell you that no matter where you are in your business right now, no matter what the challenges are in your business, no matter what mountains that you feel like you have to climb, you can do it. And I know, because if I can do it, you can do it. And I know you're in the right room. So our presentation today is called How to Develop Phenomenal Leaders in Your Company. Now, a little surprise, and Howard, you did not know this, but I believe that my husband is watching on the Zoom, which is kind of cool. In a couple days, we'll have our 31st wedding anniversary. There's also someone else who's also a member of the Inner Circle. I've been friends with her for all those years, and she's probably the only one who knows how much of a miracle that is. So that's Melanie Kennedy Reeves. So I can tell you that the hardest thing that we've ever done, besides to figure out how to make our marriage work, was build this business. And I consider the business to be my second baby. I have a son, his name is Tyler Perry, not that one, I'm not that old. And he is 24 years old, he'll be 25 in July, and coincidentally, our company will also be 25 years old in July. So I've got a 25-year journey to share with you today. But I want to start with this next picture, and I'm going to try not to cry when I do it. And this is my surprise to you, Miss Renee. So we could either call it How to Develop Phenomenal Leaders in Your Company, or where do I point this? AKA, how to find team members like Renee. And by the way, check the tagline, write it down, circle it, underwrite it. The answer is no, you cannot have her.
No, you can't.
So how in the world does a tiny little company in Vancouver, Washington, incidentally, our headquarters are located in Vancouver, Washington. For those of you who do not know, we are in Clark County, not Nevada, Washington. We are in Vancouver, not British Columbia, Canada. And we're just across the Columbia River from Portland, Oregon. So how do we attract a corporate professional who was in with Walgreens for 34 years as one of the first women leaders in Walgreens Corporation, serving over 30 years, for her to come and work for my little tiny company in Washington? And I think I'll give you some good reasons why. And who knows, you may have some questions for Renee. She'd be happy to answer them, and she will tell you the truth, even if maybe I wouldn't like the answer. It's called, what is it, acrimonious, what did you call it? Right, that other one, right? So the vulnerability part is a big deal, but I think it's really important for you to understand where we were before we joined the Inner Circle. And when I think back, it literally brings me to tears, because maybe some of this sounds familiar to you. Our business was doing fine. We were making good money. We're in the credit card processing industry, just so you know. It means that we process credit cards. How many of you knew that was an actual job? I had no idea, because when I was in high school, I didn't go, woohoo, I want to process credit cards. No, I don't know how we ended up there, but we did. And we've been in the business for a lot of years, and we were worn out. How many of you have ever had a staffing problem? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever had to go to the bank back in the days when you could actually talk to a person at the bank and say, please don't bounce my checks. I promise I'm going to make it good. How many of you have ever had to go to a vendor and say, hey, I recognize that the credit report doesn't exactly say I'm going to pay you back. You, I'm going to give you my handshake. I mean, I didn't shake those other people's hands. It was all paper. I never saw them. So that's probably what happened. And try to figure out how to build a company. So now, we built our company for 10 plus years, head down, doing everything we needed to do. We weren't thinking about, why are we building the business? We were building the business initially to make a house payment. and then make a car payment, and then pay a staff member, and then pay whatever else comes up. And we were just head down in the business. Does anyone know what that feels like? Yeah. And so about, 2013 or so, we had just gotten done building a house, and I tease my husband all the time and tell him I'm going to write a book called How to Build a House You Cannot Afford. That is the house I live in. It's very exciting. We had a manufactured home on the property, and I'll never forget sitting in the manufactured home on the front porch in tears because it was a dilapidated manufactured home. We sold our home in the city and bought 8 acres and wanted to do our dream house, but the reality of it was pretty loud when we got there. And I'm sitting on the front porch being a baby when a green and white hot air balloon rises up off of the horizon. And I knew in that moment, hey, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. We thought we would quickly build a house. Of course, then 2008 or whatever happened, and we decided maybe we should just take care of team members instead of worrying about building the house. It took us 9 or 10 years to build a house out of pocket. So that big, beautiful home that we have today is our home, which is wonderful, right? Very cool. And in the middle of building all of that, I'm going to bring you now to 2013. We're down there doing something at the house, and a truck rolls in the driveway, and it's, and I hope he's watching. I don't know if he's watching today, but I hope he'll watch this. But one of my favorite staff members drives in the driveway. Now, we're not, you didn't just happen by my house. There's some reason why he's there, because it's a long way out. He gets out of the truck, and I knew something was wrong because I could tell by his face. And I walked over and I was thinking, is something wrong with Sean? Is something wrong with the boys? Is something, you know, what's going on? What's going on? And we're walking down the driveway and I'm saying, hey, one of these days we're going to make sure we get one of these houses for you and your bride. And their kids have been over throwing rocks in the pond. I mean, just, we had a, what I thought was a good relationship. And he said, Sherry, I'm here to let you know that I'm resigning. And you could have just sucked me in the gut. Have you ever had a staff member that you were relying on so heavily that the loss of the staff member just disrupted everything? Anybody besides me? My husband will probably, don't ask, well, by the way, Dean is probably watching, which is a little weird for me, just so you know. But we're going to give you an opportunity to ask him questions. And you can ask him any question. It's okay. He'll tell you the truth. And he'll be correct about it. He's a high C. He's usually right, which kind of sucks, but that's true. Also, I'm going to save you some time at the end so that you can ask questions of me or Renee or Dee. Because here's the deal. You're going through stuff. I'm not a paid speaker to be here. I'm just an inner circle member just like you. And I'm just an inner circle member that said, you got a list of stuff to do, where do I start? And just went down the list. So I wanted to say that to say this. Often our light goes out and it's rekindled by some experience we go through with our fellow man. And when you get around the right people and you're in the right room and you hear the right messages and you read the right books, life changes. I went to Ziegler to be part of Ziegler Legacy Training Class Number 1 because I loved Mr. Ziegler. He made a massive difference in Dean's and my marriage. He was gracious enough to write about us in his book called Better Than Good. And before you get all excited, it was in the chapter where he started off with, there are some people that are so supportive of their husbands and they're just, they don't complain or anything, and then they're shitty. So I made that second half of the book possible. A lot of people say, oh, you're so nice. I just couldn't imagine. Well, imagine, because it's possible that this is not the only option, right? So it's important for us to remember that we need each other. And that's why the community is so important to me. why I give as much as I can give, because I honestly feel like even though Howard thinks there's a debt he can't pay me for, I think the opposite is true. Because if I have to make that walk down a 1,000-foot driveway with another staff member because I wasn't awake, because I didn't pay attention, because I didn't have a clear vision, because he couldn't see himself in our vision, I'm not willing to do that. And that's why I'm in the inner circle. So you have a handout. It looks like that. Everybody grab it. Grab a handout. Wiggle it around a little bit. Wiggle it just a little bit. There you go. It's got two sides on it. So I don't know what I'm going to say that's going to serve you today, but I'm just going to give you some things that we did. A few little stories here and there to help, hopefully. And then plenty of time at the end for some questions. On the back side, you guys are going to see a list of things that we did from this, that we've done, and I think I feel like I've gotten most things, but there are asterisks by some of those items. Do you guys see that? If you guys text culture wins, and by the way, use one in front of the 800 number. That's important. Some carriers, I guess, don't send it. But if you text us culture wins, then we will send you a copy of the things that are asterisked, hoping that they serve your company. All right? Couple tips. This is from John Maxwell. This is really important. So there's so many things that we get out of the seminar. If you walk through this presentation and maybe the last one after me, write an A by anything you need to apply. Write a C next to anything that you need to change, and a T by anything you need to teach, and then circle it, and that'll make it a lot easier when you go back to your normal life to just kind of rip through your notes and go, oh, hey, I was going to do that, or oh, hey, I was going to do that. So here are the notes. Oh, and by the way, when I click the next button, it's not going to start off with the first thing on the handout. That's because I made my own handouts, and I want them to be, you know, personalized, so it's messed up. It's in the wrong order. That's all right. Things to start doing. Number one, you got to decide what you want. You want to develop a great leadership team? You have to decide what you want. After that walk down the driveway with Eric, I'll tell you what I wanted. I wanted out. And I wanted out because I thought, how can somebody that we care about so much dismiss us like we weren't even there? How is that decision-making process even possible from my perception at the time of how much I was doing for he and his family? It's interesting what happens when you have leadership growth, isn't it? I might not have been doing everything I thought. Maybe. And I might have been doing some other stuff I shouldn't have been doing. So we'll talk about that too. Number two. How about this? It's clickety click, click, click. There it is. Take stock of what you do have. So losing a great staff member, losing a great, we lost a large referral partner, one of the largest banks that we probably ever worked with. And I literally thought, wow, what are we going to do? When you lose a staff member or two or three or however many con AC, when you lose a staff member, you might be wondering, now what? I got to start all over again. I got to go right back to the drawing board. And now I'm going to spend all this time on setback now. I've done all this work and blah, 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 all this stuff that you don't have. But it's important to take stock of what you do have. When we looked around, we had some pretty great people. You know, we're going to get let down from time to time. That's going to happen. But man, if I wouldn't have changed the channel and started looking at what we did have instead of what we didn't have, I seriously would have sold the company. In fact, my husband said many times, is today the day? And here's why. And God love Dean Carey. He's freaking awesome. By the way, any single women, I highly recommend Good Times Pub in Spokane, Washington. Great place to find a guy. Just saying. So he would literally say, honey, is today the day we take take an offer for our company because it hurts me to see you so wounded. Because I take it real personal, right? And I tell people all the time, you know, yes, I'm a high DI. I like to get things done. I do like to have a little fun while we're doing it. But back in the day, I was all about let's get it done and let's do it the way that I want it and let's do it now. And by the way, you're not fast enough. And we have a very interesting work culture at our company. I loved our people as long as they were doing what they had to do. Lots of strings attached, right? Number three. Stay plugged into people going where you want to go. We were on an island as business owners. We didn't have friends. I don't know about you guys, but Dean and I were working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We were just like Greg, yarding around all those boxes. We didn't have systems in place. We were just doing the next thing that came up. We were firemen, putting fires out. Anybody? Any firemen in the room, right? It's a great country song. It sucks as a way of life. And so when you stay plugged into people going where you want to go, they remind you when it's hard to hear that because you're in the middle of the mess. Because this whole business thing of, you know, be your own boss, write your own check, make your own hours. So wonderful. It sounds so great. It'll wear you out. I grew up in a family-based business. I watched my dad my whole life. My father was amazing. He passed in 2016. One of the greatest men I've ever known in my life. Blessed to have him for a father. But he worked his whole life with no systems in his business. And the only day he was ever late for work was August 26th, 2016. And that was the last day that business was open. And I knew right then I got to do something different. Luckily, we were already on the path for that. But it's important to stay plugged into people going where you want to go. How about this one? Get comfortable with the focusing question. Now, we know Matt knows it because Matt just popped it on up here and shared it with everybody. But in Gary Keller's book, The One Thing, he's got this focusing question, and there it is on the screen for you. What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else in my business becomes easier or unnecessary? Why is the focusing question so important? Anybody? It gives you direction. Anybody else? Is business filled with a bunch of voices coming at you all at the same time? Vendors, technology, staff members, you know, God forbid, I love you, honey, working with your spouse. I mean, Lord, there's a lot of stuff. And if you can't get a question to yard you back and take you right back to what you're supposed to be doing, then you stay on track longer than you need to. So the focusing question for me is right now, if I find myself in the middle of a mess, in the middle of chaos, it's like, okay, what's the one thing I can do right now, in this moment, such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary, and I just take a little mental break, and I get back to what I'm supposed to be doing. You got to get super, super focused with this question, intentional with this question. How about this one? Okay. This is a new one for me, and Renee's shaking her head because she knows we have a little bit of an internal conflict in our company about the use of white space for every staff member, and let me define what that means to us. Just like a business owner running ragged, if your staff member comes into work, plugs in, clocks in, does their job, Monday through Friday, whatever the hours are, and they never have time to stop and pause and think, then your processes won't get better. Your service won't get better. Your service level will not rise. And you run the risk of not making any more money than you're already making. Every single person, and now my whole staff can be like, were you serious when you said every single person? And also, let me just go on Zoom. I was serious about that. Now we're going to figure out how to get everybody on the team. But right now what we're doing, just so you know, we've just implemented a plan in our service department where every customer service rep has one full day off of the phones. They don't answer the phones on this day. And it's making a big difference. I'm literally getting emails from staff members saying things like, wow, today I was able to figure out how to blah, 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 whatever, update something, whatever. But if they're just going 100 miles an hour doing the same thing all the time, and they don't have any white space, just like you as the business owner, we're missing out on an opportunity to grow. We want great leaders in our companies, right? Well, if we don't give them any time to think about how to get better, how they can become better leaders. That's important. In our sales department, now we work on referrals. About 85 to 90% of all of our leads come via referrals. We've got a pretty nice referral network of 170 financial institutions that refer business to us. Thank you, Jesus. Right? So my staff gets leads that come into them, and they're on the phone the whole day, all of them. Except for now, they have one day out of the phones where they're not answering the phone, where they're working on their niche market, or they're working on if they have a blog that they write, or they're working on how to be of service to an organization, or working on an integrated piece or something along those lines. Now, we don't have service team members that go out in trucks. So I don't know exactly what white space would mean for some of the businesses in the room that have people out in the field, but me and I take some time to sit down and think about it. What can you do? Maybe there's one day a week or a month for a staff member where they only are scheduled for half a day. And the other half a day, they're required to really sit down, maybe clean their truck, you know, deep dive, clean the truck, maybe have a checklist of things that they go through to say, hey, is this the best way I can do it, and so on and so forth. I don't know, I'm just kind of spitballing there. But think about it. Because if you would have asked me in 2013, walking down the driveway, taking notice from a seven-year staff member, I would have said, I'm doing it the best I can do it. That obviously wasn't the case, right? So white space for everybody in this one. You gotta step off every 90 days. Now you guys, we're talking to the choir right now because you're in this room. 3 years ago, Dean and I took a 30-day vacation from the business. Okay, you should be clapping about that. I heard myself in my brain saying, you can't be gone that long. You can't be away from the business that long, right? Even when before that, when we come to the Inner Circle conferences, well, Sherry, you can't be away for 3 days, or Dustin, 4 days. You can't afford that. You can't afford not to step off because you miss a lot of benefits. And for me personally, what I miss, if I didn't do it, oh, can we get the Zoom person in? There we go. Oh, I have to click. Are you guys liking the PowerPoint so far? I made it. Very cool. All right, so I use the 90 days to step off and refuel. And you notice I have a picture of the Inner Circle, some of our Inner Circle family there. Man, when I come to an Inner Circle event, I feel like I'm fueling the tank, right? Elise has a really nice car that runs just on electricity, right? Can you put gas in it if you want? Oh, no, you can't, okay.
Not
so it's just electric. And it's a beautiful car, and I've driven in it with her, just it's beautiful. But if she doesn't charge it, it will not run. And Teslas are nice, but we're so much better than a Tesla. I'm just saying, we need to be recharged and refueled too, right? Okay, how about this one? Man, that's me up there. Okay, so this is in San Diego. That is a smiley face balloon. By the way, we've got smiley faces on everything, so this was really cool. Parasailing, this happened on our 30-day have to figure out how to refresh yourself, or else you become like I was walking down the road with Eric, tired, worn out, blindsided because I just wasn't refreshed enough to pay attention to what was going on in my own company. You got to have fun. And some of you are thinking, that's great, Sherry. Where the hell am I going to fit fun in? Well, you got to fit it in. Right? It's like in the beginning. Now, I know none of you did this when you were living out of the till. Anybody remember that? You weren't really paying. Hopefully, you're all paying yourself. Don't tell me if you're not. But it was somebody. Anybody. But I remember when we literally, how much money do you have? I don't know. Check it and try to write the check and see if it goes. This is a true story. I went down to the bank. We had a big, huge check to deposit. I went down to the bank, made the deposit. I went out to the ATM machine, and it said, you do not have enough money to get what you wanted out of the ATM machine. That was not an unfamiliar concept for me at the time. So what I did is I just thought, well, I just put in like $3,000. I mean, big deal. So I just made a deposit at the ATM for $3,000, and it said I could get my money out until the next morning when the banker called, because apparently that's illegal. Did you know that back in the day, you used to be able to put a deposit into an ATM machine with nothing in the envelope and get money out? That is the bond seminar. I'm so sorry, Howard. Sorry. So it's important to have a little fun or you're going to go crazy. And that's where I was. I was crazy. I was worn out. I was tired, blindsided. We weren't having any fun. We hadn't been on a vacation in years. We didn't even know what a vacation was. Now, let me pause for all the mamas and the daddies in the room and say this. There is one thing that I've done better than anything in my entire life, and that's be a mommy. The biggest gift, in my opinion, is being able to be a mom. And so somewhere in all that chaos, I didn't jack up my son too bad. Too bad. He's pretty good. So it's important for you to know. We did all the stuff. We went to his games and all of that stuff, but man, it was hard. That's why our company today, if you want to come to work at TMC and you have kids, you could not work in a better place. Because we know, if you're a mama and you have kids at home, you probably want to go to their stuff. You probably want to be at the first day kindergarten. Most likely you'd like to take them to school, pick them up afterwards or whatever. We're going to help you make it happen. You want to develop a leadership culture in your company? What would you want to do if you were a parent? So you got to have fun. Or else your brain will not be thinking like that. And then if my husband is watching, and I hope he is, you also have to remember why you are in business in the first place. We have been in so many knockdown, drag out fights, mostly because you were wrong, honey. I love you. But you were wrong, okay? So I'm a high D personality, D off the charts. God love my husband. His D is shorter than mine. But if you want to stay marrying women and you've got a nice high D, you may not want to be the boss when you go home. I tried it, doesn't work. If you don't take the time to step off every 90 days, remember and reconnect with your spouse, you will ruin the most important thing on your way to getting something that can be replaced at any old job. And it will be an unfair trade. So thank you, Dean Perry, for your grace and patience and for not burying me in the backyard. Okay. All right. No. Here we go. All right. So we were at an Inner Circle event, and I came up with this quote all by myself. It says, you cannot paint a picture with a dry brush. That's why you have to step off every 90 days. We're great. Business owners are cut from a different cloth. We can handle more than most. You got problems, bring it, we can handle it, but we still have to take care of ourselves and we still have to step up, or else we become who I was in 2013 on that road. Difficult, easily wounded, and somebody not paying enough attention and losing really great people along the way. And Today, I tell Eric, because we do speak today, which is cool, you made a big mistake. I mean, I get why you did it, but one day maybe he'll come back, which would be cool. You can come back, Eric, if you're watching this, okay? Things to stop doing. All right. Hopefully, you're not too overly sensitive. Since you're business owners, I'll assume you're not. I get accused of saying, suck it up, buttercup, a lot, which I do. Because at the end of the day, it's a business. We have to make money. At the end of the day, we have a responsibility to our staff to have a profitable, well-run organization. Right? And all of business is not fun. In fact, I get people that go, ooh, I would never want to work in the credit card processing industry. Anybody ever get this? From your industry? Oh, yeah, right? Okay, so quit keeping everything in your brain. I was the smartest one at the company, or so I thought, because I knew everything. Here's the 3-year plan today. This is important. If you want to zoom in on that, you can if you want to, but here's the deal. Eric walked down that road with me because he did not see himself in the picture of our company. Here's what they saw. Boy, you just built a new big old house, didn't you? You're driving around in a pretty nice car, aren't you? I like a nice car. I drive a Raptor. Anybody wants to go four-wheeling, you'll have to take my son. My truck doesn't go off the road. It just looks cool. Okay? But the staff members who were working hard in our company didn't see themselves in the vision because I just kept it all in my brain. So I didn't understand why Eric couldn't see it. I wanted to help him do the same thing. Well, how could he? He's not a mind reader, right? Very important. Number two, quit being the keeper of all knowledge. I was, like I said, smartest person in the whole company. People were, well, what's the answer? Here's a question. Here's the answer. And pretty soon I couldn't go anywhere because I'm the one who had to answer every single question. So here's your number one way to get rid of people asking. Anybody ask you questions all the time? Anybody, what do I do? How do I do this? What should I do about this? How about this? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that customer? Okay. Here's what you do. It's very simple. You just stop answering the questions. I'm super serious about that. And you start asking a question. I got it from Howard. Can I ask you a question? And here's what I say. Hey, Greg, that's a great question. If I wasn't here, what do you think the answer would be? And he would give me, you know, an answer. And if it didn't look like he was going to run off a cliff and kill himself, I'd let him run with it. And then, that's right. And that's exactly right. So we go right back to the core values. By the way, our core values are, the acronym is SMILE. And what a shocker. So there's smiley faces everywhere in our company. And I remember when we got the chance, and this is another thing I love about the Inner Circle, to spend a whole year with Joseph Michelli going through the branding experience. The first thing he said, and you may remember this, is you got to get rid of the smiley face on your website. I said, I like you, and you wrote some good books, and you come highly recommended, but the smiley face stays. And then a few months later, he goes, you know what, kid, I like it. I'm like, good. But here's what the SMILE acronym stands for. And tell me when you hear credit card processing and the core values. Ready? S, superior knowledge and service. M, meaningful relationships. I, integrity in all things. L, leaving a legacy of fun. E, exceptional educational experience. So guess what we don't have at TMC? We don't have people who are late. Because that violates the I, integrity in all things. We don't have people who are rude to people because that violates the meaningful relationships. We don't have people that don't do personal growth and development because it violates the E, the exceptional educational experience. We hire, fire, train, coach, make all decisions from the core values. We learn that here in the inner circle. Very, very important. So stop answering the questions and tell them, hey, run it through the filter. Run it through the core value filter. Does it work? Rock on. Listen, if it's the wrong decision, believe me, we'll talk about it. No worries. But you cannot get fired in my company for making a decision when you back it up with the core values. You can't even get fired if you make a $55,000 error, which happened, where somebody accidentally processed a boatload of credit card transactions into the wrong account and we weren't able to get all the money back. Yeah, welcome to my world. Right? Hey, it's not easy being a business owner. Mistakes are going to happen, but people have to know they can make a mistake. And as long as their heart's in the right place and they can back it up with core value stuff, we're going to teach on it. I'll never forget the day I get a call from somebody, your rep said I should take out the pin pad, and I did, and now my bill's $300 more than it was last month. I said, oh, which account would you like me to put the $300 into? And they said, what? I was ready for a fight. No fight here. Which account? And now they refer more people than some of the referral partners that we have, which is awesome. It's core values. Pretty cool. All right, how about this one? Hogging up the org chart. Stop it. Quit it. Get out of those boxes. Damn it. Oh, garbage. Sorry. How many of you watched the guy with a watch grid with all the boxes, and then you watched that beautiful moment when everybody got the wrong box, everybody's walking around like, wouldn't that be nice, but I can't afford it. Don't raise your hand, because I know. I already know. I can't afford to hire. You can't afford to be in all the boxes. You just can't. I love the three-year plan Howard laid out so clearly, so succinctly. First year, do this. Replace yourself in the bottom row. That eliminates the question of where do you start. But when you're hogging up the org chart, you don't get a Renee. You don't get a Bella. You don't get a Hope. You don't get an Alyssa. I'd rather say everybody's name now. And all of the other people at TNC. You don't get a Carrie or a Karen, which is my mom, or a Sam, who's my sister. You don't get those people if your name's in the box. Yeah. You've got to get out of the boxes, so just stop hogging it. And for those of you tempted to say, well, I can't afford it, then read the Liberty of Our Language Revealed and stop saying it. Yeah. Or watch Bob Newhart. Stop it, right? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google Stop It, Bob Newhart, you'll know soon enough. All right. Quit taking everything so personally. I literally thought Eric Jenks planned this whole let's see how mad we can make Sherry thing all the way out to my house. That man was in tears. It hurt him to quit. Years later, when we were speaking again, it took me a minute. I said, why did you go? He said, Sherry, I wanted a company where my son could come and sleep under the couch while I worked. I wish I would have known that. I maybe could have done something about that, right? I wanted a company where if my son had a baseball game, I could go. And as an employee, I was pretty sure I couldn't get that. Really? That's the message I was sending? Yeah, it was. Not cool. Don't take it personal. People do things for themselves. They're not doing it to you. And we've heard that. Somebody quoted it somewhere, and I just stole it. So we're like, oh, that's fine. How about this one? Quit disconnecting from support. I talked about it a little bit in an intro the other day, but here's the truth of the matter. If you're hurting and there's some part in your business that sucks because of whatever reason, whether it's technology, competition, cash flow, staffing, whatever it is, you need to scooch in to the accountability, not out. Scooching out just gets you further away from the solution. I thought I had a good picture for that. Yeah, look at that. Surround yourself with those on the same mission as you. You know what a pack of lions does when some doesn't go their way? They just go get another one. And they miss a lot of them. But then they just say, you know what, let's rest up a little bit. We're about ready to go get fed. And they go take care of business. And that's what an inner circle group can do for you. There's no shame in coming onto the pod and saying, you guys, last week sucked. Ashley, can I use you for an example? Ashley came onto the pod and she was real on the pod. You guys, this is what I'm going through. And they round-tabled that bad boy. And they did what great pods do. They said, okay, how do we support Ashley right now today? Sometimes on a pod, you're the person getting fed, and sometimes you're responsible for feeding somebody else. You can't back out.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Things to consider. So I was just going to say it, and as I was about to say it, I just almost started laughing. I was going to say it. So I'm not as bossy as I was before, but probably not true. So I'm still pretty bossy. So when I say things to consider, I want you to really, really ponder and think about these questions. What if you weren't in the business you think you're in? I own a credit card processing company. We process millions and millions of dollars of credit card transactions every single month. And I am not in the credit card processing business. We're in the people growth and development business, and our company is a growth factory for people that want to come and become better people.
Right?
Here's what that does, by the way. It takes somebody that says, well, I just don't see myself having a career in the credit card processing industry. Neither do I. And I'm the owner. Somebody said to me, well, Shirley, how are you so passionate about credit card processing? I'm like, is that what you're getting from me? Because, dang, that's not the truth. Credit card processing is a necessary evil. And all of you who pay monthly merchant statements are like, yes, you're right, it is. Because you love paying those fees, right? But it's something that somebody has to use. What about your business? Greg? Is it a glamorous business? Climbing up in somebody's chimney? Getting rid of that raccoon you were talking about the other day? That doesn't sound like fun to me. So you have to make sure that you're asking yourself that question. What if you're not in the business you think you're in? What if you're in the people business? And isn't all business people business? If we quit treating it like a credit card processing company, maybe we don't take the long walk down the road because we were alert enough to recognize that a dad wanted to have his kid come into the office, like my son came into the office. Incidentally, cute little story. We had a little tiny office. We just moved out of our home. We started our business in our home. And we moved to this little office. And I literally thought we were going to go bankrupt because of our, I think it was like, $1,400 a month, and it was like $1,000,000 to pay for that. And one day I come into the office and there's all these boxes, and Tyler says, Mom, I'd like you to come into my office, please. And he takes me over to his office. Only his office had a lunchroom and all the stuff we didn't have in our office. He was very, very smart. What I didn't recognize is that the staff members were watching all of that. And it was cute. But now they're thinking, what about my kids? What about our family? And I wasn't awake enough to pay attention to it. So that's the question. What if you're not in the business you think you're in? How about this one? What if the struggles you're going through are setting you up for something amazing? Imagine if I never lost Eric or several other staff members. I make it sound like I lost one staff member, which is really funny, because there were a lot of them. anyway, long story, that's another whole seminar too. But what if the struggles you're going through are setting you up for something amazing? If I didn't have the walk down down the road with Eric, I would not have probably woken up to the fact that, hey, Sherry, you're not doing it the right way. If you get into your business and you're 10, 15, some, you know, 20 years into your business and you're by yourself and you're working yourself to death and you don't have very many friends, I'm just going to submit for your consideration that you're not doing it the right way. We weren't. It's nice to have a big old house at the end of the driveway. It sucks if you don't have anybody to invite over because you wore yourself out doing it, right? By the way, you can all come over. It's awesome. All right. How about this one? This is a deep question. What if you don't make a change? What if you come to the seminar and do like some of us have done time and time again, go home and get right back into the business of staying busy? What if you don't make any changes? What if it stays exactly the same? And for most of you, if the answer to that question is, well, if I may do that, may I suggest that you go get a job? I mean that in the most loving way. Because a job at least has a start and a stop, and you can enjoy your family. When you're an owner of a company, you're blessed to not have that, but you've got to be responsible with it. So what if you don't make the change? But here's a better question. What if you do? What if you do make a change? What if you go back and flip the note sheet over real quick? What if you go back and put a few of these things into play in your business? I don't know if you guys saw the start date on my little walk-in music, that taking care of business, my little brag stuff in the beginning, which is so cool. Number one company to work for in the state of Washington, across all company sizes, by the way, not just a small business. One of the top 429 companies to work for in the United States of America. What? Right? I mean, that's awesome. It's really great. But you can't do that if you don't make any changes, right? So there's a laundry list of stuff on the back sheet of that paper. We've done all of those things. But we're at almost every single Inner Circle conference. We're bringing staff members to almost every single Inner Circle conference. We're getting our team members on the Inner Circle conference website. We're having them go to pods. We're figuring out how to get the message all the way through the company in every single department. Even my husband, who hates going to seminars. He hates it. That's okay, because I like it enough for both of us. No problem. Right? So, it's important that you ask yourself that question. What if I did go home and I stopped saying things like I don't have the time? It's too hard. I can't find good people. There's only so many hours of the day. Yeah, there's 24 of them, and you can use them all if you want. As a small business owner, you guys know you only work half days, right? It's either the first 12 or the second 12. It's no problem. You can do it. But you can do anything for a short period of time to get a big result. The starting date on the awards that went up on the screen was 2017. We joined the Inner Circle in 2014. How many years is that? What? Did you say three? Did we just have a session? Turnkey in three? Holy hell, it works. It's kind of cool, right? Here's what happens if you put it into play. And I love movies. Tombstone's one of my favorites, and I love it when somebody says, I'm your Huckleberry. I love it. But you want to build a team so strong that when they look, they have no idea who the owner is. That's how I think today. But in 2013, walking down the driveway with this staff member that I really loved and still love today, I was the boss. And it was my way or the highway. And that is not the kind of environment that attracts leaders like my friend Renee. Or it has people like my friend Hope, who hopefully is watching this, figure out how to hang tight when her boss makes bad hiring decisions, which some of you may have heard. I hired someone from outside of our company to run a department in our company, and she wrote me a letter that I will always say, saying, I do not agree with you. I don't think you did the right thing. This is not what I expected, but I trust you, and I love you, and I know you have our company's best interest at heart, and I will stand behind you. And then I fired her and put Hope in the position. So sometimes it works out like that. Sometimes it does. Build a team so strong that nobody knows who the boss is. How does the story end? I don't know. The story's still going. But here's the interesting thing. We have staff members that have somehow trusted us to build their career in our company, even though we're in the credit card processing industry. This past week, we had a newer staff member buy a house. We had another staff member buy a car. We had babies coming. Somebody's going to get married. It's very exciting. And I want to share this email I just got today from, is my phone on here? Yeah, I'll just give you the nutshell. I get an email from a decade-long employee. His wife had appendicitis and went to the emergency room. He said, hey, go with her. Obviously, you won't be in tomorrow. His daughter works for us. He dropped her off in the morning. We get an email. It's a sparkly. It's got sparkly stuff on the back. That's mine. Anyway, no big deal. So, did I tell you my second score is a 9? Squirrel? You get that? Okay. So, we get an email and it says, Sherry, excellent hire. We hired a fine gentleman. Here's a copy of the email. And our brand new staff member literally just went through a 30-day review. Sends him a beautiful email that says, hey, I understand your wife was in the hospital and we're praying for her and just wanted you to know that we're thinking about you. And don't worry, we'll all get your stuff covered while you're gone, something like that. From a 30-day staff member. You develop leaders in your company by taking care of yourself first. So you have the energy and the bandwidth to recognize when staff members need more than what you're giving them. Otherwise, you lose them, which really sucks. But here's the truth. The story will end based on how you implement. If you go back and find an excuse not to do it, we want you to come back in the next 90 days and come to the next Inner Circle meeting. Sometimes it takes a long time to hear things. That's cool. But implementation, right? Implementation is the key, obviously, that we have to insert in order to get a different result. So, will you play that song for me? Actually, hold off on the song for a second. Let's do this. So Dean Perry is in the audience, I think. Is he in there?
Yes.
Oh, he is. He's watching me.
The whole time.
Very cool. Honestly, if you knew that years ago I tried to push him down the stairs just so he landed just so we could just make things a lot easier in our life, you would know that this is a transformation. So I would like to invite you to ask some questions. What are even hard questions? You're welcome to ask Renee, a staff member. You're welcome to ask Dean Perry. I think he's not a silent partner because Lord knows he's not silent. But I'm in the company. I'm responsible for working with the team members and the staff members. We have the people who take care of the sales and all of those things. Dean handles everything related to contractual things. He's incredibly brilliant with those kinds of things. Listen, if you end up in a room with Dean, it means you're in trouble. Because he doesn't normally have to get involved unless there's a pretty big issue. So anything you want to ask from a marriage standpoint, like how is it working with Sherry or something, feel free. You better be nice, Dean Perry. And then you can also ask me anything about struggles, hurdles, or whatever. So who would like to begin with a question? Okay, Greg, and then Larry, oh my gosh. And it's either Dean, Renee,
you're here, why not?
Yeah.
You hire somebody from outside.
Yeah.
And it caused a ripple in your business, I guess. I mean, with other. How do you see that, there's a person in your business that can take over that position beforehand, you make those big decisions?
It's a great question. I considered it. I did. I considered moving the staff member. We have so many gifted team members on our team. I did consider it. But in the pandemic, I don't know if you guys recognize this or not, and I'm sure you do, that lots of opportunities opened up, and this woman had a resume that was like, wow, unbelievable. She even had stuff on there that many of my team members had, stuff that I didn't even know how to do from a standpoint of, you know, in our business. And we talked it over as a leadership team, and I actually did have a conversation with the one staff member that I knew was going to be wounded by the decision beforehand. So I made sure that I tried to mitigate the issue beforehand. The truth is if I would have read the higher box stuff that I already bought from Patrick, it's in the drawer. I maybe would have done a little more digging on what was on the resume. And so that was a really good opportunity for me to step up as a leader and go, guys, I jacked it up. I apologize. And make sure that they see that, you know, there's no, you know, crystal ball as the owner of a company. You're just trying to do the best thing for the company to move the company forward. In my heart of hearts, I still believe that Hope is probably going to end up in a different position in our company anyway, because she's a very gifted and talented speaker. And I think that that's probably where her heart will sing the most. So that was the other part of the reason for bringing somebody else in that actually truly seemed like she really, really wanted to be in that position. Does that answer it? Okay.
So I want to compliment you on the vulnerability, because most of the people in the room realize that running your own business is really a challenge. And I meet people all the time, like in chambers and stuff like that, and they don't realize that it's not just you, which is very cool. And your vulnerability with your staff is a big deal, because it's hard for people to compliment you. But my question is, when you went to the ATM, what did you put in the envelope? It seemed like it was so good. I would have done that back in the day, because it's a great idea.
Okay, so, listen, turn off the Zoom for just a quick second.
Right.
I'm sorry. So I'm an honest person. I mean, that's my core. So people who think of these things, you know, I'm like, wow, I wish you could do that in a legal fashion, right? So, I just took a blank envelope and sealed it. Tucked it in there. There was nothing in the envelope. I didn't even consider, like, is there a video? No, because I knew I just put the money in there. I wasn't taking anything that wasn't mine. Yeah. I have no banks. It's okay. And they're not my banker today. And guess what? Just like in Pretty Woman, I would say that was a big mistake. Big. Huge.
Hey, Sherry.
Yes.
You see?
Ah, hey, hi, honey. Okay, who wants to ask Dina a question? Anybody? Okay, Mandy. Oh, and Howard wants to ask. Yeah. Dean Perry, Howard wants to know if you still love him.
If I still run what?
If you still love him. Do you love Howard?
Oh, I do love Howard. In fact, he's don't tell anybody outside of the inner circle, but Howard's a great dancer.
That's awesome. Mandy, you got a question for Dean.
So, Dean, I am a high DI. My husband is a high CS. What advice would you give me as a wife as we're working together and it does cause problems?
Wow. I'm extremely familiar with those letters. How long have you been married?
21 years this year.
congratulations. And does your husband participate in the business or in the inner circle? And if not, does he support you 100% behind the inner circle and the business?
Well, Dean, here's the problem. It's really his business, and I'm helping him. But I'm the DI. I'm supporting him, kind of. I don't know if he would say that, but I say
that. It's a trap, honey! It's a trap! Damn it!
My advice to you would be just as if you were employees together, working together. You're working with people, even though it's your husband. So you give. You listen. You hear what he has to say. You keep on continuing to grow, and hopefully you're growing together. And he needs to do the same thing. He's got to give. He's got to listen. And coming from the guy's standpoint of view, he has to say, "I'm sorry, honey," occasionally. Or more often than not, it does happen. Or, "I apologize, darling, it happens." So you just have to, I think the biggest thing in a relationship, not only just a spousal relationship, but a business relationship between coworkers, is the number one thing you need to do is to listen. Listen. Don't respond, just listen to everything in its entirety, then you can respond. And we learned that from the marriage team because Sherry and I are certified marriage coaches. Biggest problem with any relationship, business or personal, is people do not listen to each other. So I think you need to listen. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah, good job, honey. What he didn't tell you about the marriage coaching is that we went to marriage coaching classes and we all got a divorce because he was difficult during the marriage course. Anyway, we have not coached any marriages, just so you know. But we do have from time to time the opportunity to work with people who work together and we can just say, hey, here's what we've done, here's what's worked. Don't push your husband down the stairs. That's a bad idea. And pretty much that's all we got. Randall.
So I have just a simple question as a high D. And how can you focus in on one vision when the visions come and they go so much out so many different windows and you really, you get excited that the whole thing starts off, I want to get out of this job and working all day, every day. You get into the inner circle and you get excited about things that are happening and you meet people that are doing what you want to do and the vision gets really blurry at that point and you decide that, I have everything I've ever wanted and now it's what I wanted for the team. And it's really hard to get that desire burn from a blurry vision, but yet you want everything for them.
Yeah.
And you want to lead them and you want them to see it, you want to write it and let them know every day what you're doing, but I don't have it. I can't write it. And I want to, it. Can that be extracted through the right questions from someone?
Wow, what a great question, right? So yeah. The first thing that I would say is if you have a blurry vision as a business owner, there's no way for you to share that with your team because it's blurry. And if it's blurry to you, it's going to be super blurry to them. But tell them. You share your heart with your staff. I didn't come up with the vision. We came up with the vision. To have a minimum amount that everybody makes, to have a minimum time frame from the time that someone steps into our company doors until the time they're making that minimum amount, that wasn't my idea. That was somebody's on the staff. So I wouldn't panic if you don't have a clear vision, but I dig into that bad boy quickly and figure out what to do. There's a difference between a vision and a mission in your company and your to-do list. And if your vision can't be getting out of the org chart. Does that make sense? Getting out of the org chart, that's great for you, but for your company vision, Eric left because he didn't see himself in the vision, in the mission. So if you have a team and you want to develop a great leadership team, they have to see themselves in the vision. So I would say be vulnerable with your team and tell them, hey team, I'm struggling with the overall vision for the company and I'd really like to sit around a table. Maybe we can do it around a campfire or something. Have a little fun and just talk and throw some stuff back and forth and let's see what works. And then if you're meeting with your team on a routine basis, you can start plucking the things out that don't make sense anymore. And you can start adding the things in that make more sense. And then pretty soon, one day, you'll look back and go, dang, it's been a while, but look at that vision, it's pretty clear. I hope that helps. Okay, awesome. Do we have any questions now? You have a staff member, and we'll go to you, Dan. Is that for you? Oh, good, perfect. Yeah, I would, if it was me, I'd want to know, from a staff member's standpoint, I'd want to know a lot of things. So go ahead.
So my question's for Renee. This will be good. First of all, Sherry, excellent presentation.
Thank you.
Excellent, excellent, really good. So Renee, I work for a company that has a husband-wife owner. Spend most of my time doing marriage counseling. So my question for you is, what's the best thing about working in the environment you're in, and then what's probably the most challenging?
Well, the best thing is the, let me stand up here and address you the proper way, as my boss goes. Still a little D there, right?
That's not going away anytime soon, but it is summer, so there's that.
So the best thing was everything being done by the mission vision piece. I work for big corporate America, and I honestly couldn't tell you what those were in all the years that I worked there. And so knowing that everything that we do follows back to the smile. And are you kidding me? I spent my entire life serving people. My motto was hire the smile, train the task. When I got on and saw a smile, I was like, whoa, this is where I need to be, right? So that's the best thing. We are given the opportunity to make decisions based on the core values and the autonomy to do that without having to say, Sherry, can I do this? The most challenging thing, I will say, was the beginning of EOS. Thank you. Thank you.
That's coming up.
But let me tell you, it is the most satisfying, rewarding thing today to see some type of structure and the ability to have, I call it constructive conflict. It's very powerful to be able to have conflict that moves you forward in these meetings. And when you're taught how to do it the right way, it's really, really powerful. And that includes a husband and wife, where before it was sort of like, but what do you think? And treading lightly until it was just like, okay, we got to duke this out to get it figured out. And now we're in such a synergy of a leadership piece that we've gotten more done in 12 months as a company than I probably say, of course, I've only been there for 2.5 years, but I would say this last year we got more done than big rocks in 1 year than the last five. That's probably safe to say.
Very safe.
So I would say husband and wife, I look them as two partners driving the same vision, and they've got some pretty strong people on board to drive it with them.
So follow-up question then. Renee said that the hardest part has been the start of the EOS. Would you two as owners agree with her on that? And are you glad you took the steps that you've taken?
Well, let's see what he says about you go first, honey.
Gee, thanks. That's easier for me to do than follow you. With the EOS, it's a difficult step to open up your company to other employees and coworkers. Once you take that step, and this was a difficult step for me to learn how to delegate as a business owner 15 years ago, because I, like Sherry, when I started this business, the only person who could do what I wanted to get done right the first time was yours truly. So EOS is similar to that, to where you're delegating out certain portions of your company and you let them help you to do those portions of your company. We learned from Eldon Rohr, involve your people and your people will solve your challenges. So I think, even though it was confusing and it's taken us about a year and a half, is that about right to fully implement, Sherry Perry, about a year and a half? So it does take some time and it does take a commitment, and your rocks and your goals and your vision, everything is continually changing, because when you solve all these issues, you have to come up with other issues that need solved. So I think it's definitely a benefit, and you will get out of it what you put into it. Thank you.
That's great, honey. My rebuttal is, I'm just kidding. It's sometimes dicey in the EOS meeting. So the healthy conflict that he's talking about, I mean, the reality is I'm a DI. Dean is a high C. I am in love with our company. Dean's in love with the company as long as I am. And so there are different drivers. So I have to be respectful of how my husband is wired. And I have to, and sometimes I literally have to say, you know, Sherry, you need to back it down a little bit. Because I get super emotional about everything, pretty much. And so it can get heated. But when you're in a safe room where you have people that know the heart of both of the business owners, Dean Perry loves his staff. I love our staff. We have a great leadership team. And every once in a while, it gets a little, you know, in the room, and it's just, you know, that's how it works. And it's good. We would definitely do it again. Wish we would have done it sooner. In fact, can Howard hear me? Do you know this, Howard, that we had a little issue with a vendor that was doing websites with you, and that as a little, the way I took it, a little rub sent me two traction books in a box with no note, with a note that said, maybe if you read this, you'd be able to run your business better. Oh, yeah, I opened the books and read them right away. Of course not. I saw Howard and I'm like, what the? I mean, listen, I mean, I felt like Medea. Somebody better tell him. Because I just booked a freaking flight. I'm going to come and meet you in Clearwater because it's not going to work out in your favor. And I took those two useless traction books and stuck them on the shelf, and imagine my complete disappointment when I realized that he was right. You better not tell him. It was crazy. Crazy. But it's so good. Because it takes... We still own the company. But if our mission truly is not credit card processing and it truly is developing the leaders and the people on our team, we can't be in the way of the progress of the company. And five people is better than two. So we've been very blessed. We're so thankful that Santiago walked us through that first year of EOS. It made a big difference, and he does guest appearances from time to time, and the staff's always super happy when that happens. Thank you. That's a good question. Any other questions for Renee? Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah, this one's for whoever you want to have answer it, but Tom was saying this morning that mental health is a big issue, and so I'm wondering, with the pandemic, your company may have gone remote, and have you seen mental health? I mean, how have you worked through that whole thing, and if you're coming out of it now, how's that going?
Four words? Suck it up, Buttercup. I'm just kidding. So, can I go first, and then you go? Okay. So here's the thing. Mental health was important before the pandemic. And I think that companies that are taking care of their team members were already probably doing things that help people with their mental health. You have staff members that are staying, Joe Taylor, beloved member of our team. That man was staying late every single night, right? We didn't need a pandemic to tell him, Joe, go home. There's ways that you can support your team. With regard to people staying home, Nancy, during the pandemic, we doubled up on the contact, whether it was Slack or Zoom or weekly team meetings where we always see each other's faces just to make sure. And we were sending them love boxes and just, you know, they'd get a box and it had smiley faces on it and they knew, ah, oh, something from home, right? So it's very, very important. I get a little irritated with some companies that are like, you know, we're big on mental health now because of the pandemic. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's a big concern beforehand, right? And so I think if you take care of your people, they'll take care of you. Did you want to add anything to that?
I will say that we stayed in working order the entire time. We were open, we were an essential business, and there are several staff members that work remote, I being one of them. But there were also special concessions made. We had a single mom that had a child that needed to have their schooling done, and so we opened up the break room, and that child came and did their school. There were several different things that were taken. We had somebody who had an inflammatory process that needed to be separated, so we made a concession where they needed to work remotely. So anything that a staff member, and there was communication on a daily basis, over communication. We're a sound fiscal company, we're going to take care of all of you. We didn't know what was going to happen, they didn't know what was going to happen, but the over communication and we could see all the special things that were being taken care of for the people who needed it. And for those who didn't speak, there wasn't one person that didn't speak up because it was an encouraged process. If you need anything, we're here for you. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, thank you. The communication part was a big deal because we didn't say, hey, we know what we're doing. We said, we have no idea. We have never faced this before. We do not know what's going to happen, but here's what we do know. We're a fiscally responsible company. Thank you, Dean Perry. And we are prepared to figure out how to find work or do whatever we have to do. You do not have to worry about your jobs. Don't even think about it. We will keep you posted. The other thing that we did, and this is huge, is we told the staff every single day, we want you to send the email that says what you're doing, how you're contributing, so everybody shares with the whole team what they're doing. But every day you need to share a win. We refocus their attention on finding the good in every single day. And it was so great that we still do it today. It's wonderful to read those wins every single day. One more question.
Hi, Dean, it's primarily for you, but Sherry also. Retirement is obviously coming closer for Dean, much closer for him than you, Sherry.
Much closer, 6 whole months.
So, no, it's a, I like yourselves, we're, you know, turning on the company. So, you know, do you have a succession plan already planned out, or is that in the works, or are you on it?
So exit strategy is the question, right? What's our exit strategy? Honey, what's his exit strategy is sell the company. Honey, what's your exit strategy?
I'm going to go fishing and hunting, and everybody else stays at the office working.
So I think we build a company. Say it again. Oh, he said he's going to go fishing. Yeah, he's just going to go hunting and fishing. He just got his first bear last week. Good job, Dean Perry. I feel like I just don't get the retirement whole thing. But so my thought process with the company as far as an exit strategy goes is create the company that can run without me, which we're incredibly close. And then at that point, we'll have to make a formal, you know, exit strategy. Right now, our exit strategy is like everybody else's, work until you can't work and then whatever, right? And so now that we actually have a sustainable entity that can run by itself, now we ask those bigger questions. So you go as far as you can go as far as you can see, and then do something different when you get there. So, in closing, let me say this because it is 2:30 and I like to end on time. You can't listen to Michael Jackson's song, Man in the Mirror, because we don't have time. It's 5 minutes. Can you please erase my husband from the screen in the most loving way? There you go. But I would like to invite you to text Culture Wins to 1-833-600-0052. Here's what you will get. On the back side of the handout, there are lines with a little asterisk on it. Those are some of the tools that we've created under the tutelage of the Inner Circle. We share lots of stuff in the Inner Circle because, hey, if we can shortcut the process for any business owner, that's exactly the point of the Inner Circle. So if you want to take a peek at our MVP, if you want to take a look at some of the things that we've done, if you want to look at some of the really cool things. By the way, I did put it on there. We did axe throwing a few weeks ago. Axe throwing. Dean was the best at it. I sucked at it. It was very fun. And I didn't even hit Dean. So that was good. And so it's a pleasure to share with you 1,000 feet down a driveway, walking with a staff member who's breaking your heart, is the best thing that could have ever happened to our company. Because it led me to go to DLC, because I figured, hey, I'll just do the next thing I want to do, and we'll probably sell the company. And then I got to meet Howard, and then I fell in love with the Inner Circle. And today, I'm just hungry for as much information as I can get to develop the leaders on our team. And I think you can do it, too. So thank you so much.